Martin, thank you for joining WBGO. You and I have been friends for close to 50 years from our days at Morehouse College. You haven't aged a day. So thank you very much for your time, and I look forward to our discussion.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Jay. Appreciate having the opportunity to always share.
I should note that this interview was pre-recorded on October 18th, which is about 2.5 weeks before the election. I asked you to come on and join us, talk about the importance of voting in this country. Much of your father's career was devoted to achieving the right to vote. Many people don't know this, but in 1957, your father gave a speech at the steps of the Lincoln Memorial to talk about the importance of giving Black Americans the ballot. And much of what he did during his public career was dedicated to achieving the right to vote for African Americans. He and others fought and died to achieve the right to vote. When you look at the efforts today to try to restrict access to voting, how do you assess the level of concern that you have about that compared to where we were, say, in the 1960s?
Well, let me first, again, thank you for the opportunity and to say I'm so grateful that you brought out the point that Dad delivered the Give Us the Ballot address before, actually. He shared his dream. He talked about giving us the right to vote because, of course, the I Have a Dream speech was not delivered until 1963. But he always understood and knew that a voteless people was a powerless people, he would say. And one of the most important steps we can take is that short step to the ballot box. The tragedy today in 2024, and actually it sort of came to a head first, as we know, in 2013, when the Supreme Court eviscerated parts of the Voting Rights Act, particularly watering down Section 5, the preclearance provision. Obviously, later on, after the election of 2016, and certainly in 2020, states around the country began to roll back, make it much more challenging for people to vote through all kinds of provisions in the law. And even in my own state, of course, where we both attended college, Jay, the fact of the matter is if one is in line voting, you can't even bring them water. It's a crime. My higher point is in 2024 and beyond, it should be much easier to vote than it's ever been. And unfortunately, in many states, there have been laws that have been brought and put on the books that make it more challenging. And it's kind of a targeted approach that is for the African-American and Latino community, poor white communities, maybe even affecting seniors, all of these provisions that have been put in place. You didn't ask this question, but I'm going to give it anyway. I'm sure my father and mother, as well as John Lewis and so many others, are turning over in their graves, saying that we live in one of the greatest countries, and some would say, if not the greatest country in the world. And yet, instead of expanding democracy, we are trying to reduce and maybe even in one sense change the system. And I just think that we have to stay engaged, stay awoke. By the way, the last sermon my father preached was at the National Cathedral. It was either March 30th or 31st. I forget the exact date. But the name of that speech at the National Cathedral was Remaining Awake Through a Great Revolution. And I'm saying that to say that we have now used, some people are using woke to be a negative thing. And I just want people to understand Martin Luther King Jr. challenged us to remain awake and to engage in such a way. Theoretically, we should be so much further, but we aren't. And the vote is being taken away every day in some way, form, or fashion. If people stay engaged, that cannot happen.
Martin, what would you say was the turning point in the struggle for voting access in this country in the South? Was it the Selma to Montgomery March or some other point?
Yeah, the turning point was certainly the Voting Rights Act being signed in 1965 by President Johnson. Of course, the march which occurred actually on March 5th of 1965, where John Lewis, the initial march, and Hosea Williams walked over the Edmund Pettus Bridge with about 200 people. And they were beaten very tragically. John Lewis had a coma. Hosea Williams was maybe in the hospital a day or so, but John Lewis, I think, was in the hospital for a week or two and was beaten within an inch of his life. I think people saw that. My father was able to write a letter to various clergymen and challenge them to come and join in Selma. So you had when the actual, I think it was three different marches, but that march was an assemblage of clergy persons from the Catholic Church. My higher point is this, in a real sense, gave the nation the opportunity, and the president specifically, to talk about a Voting Rights Act. And at the time of the signing, initially the president had said he did not have the power because he'd used all his political currency, President Johnson, getting the Civil Rights Act passed. So my dad, his team, and a number of others, Miss Amelia Boynton in Selma and a host of others, were responsible for creating the climate, and all of the different religious leaders and others.
There are many people today in this country who believe that their vote won't make a difference. They're disenchanted. My vote won't count. Nothing will change. I'm only one vote. What would you say to that person about the importance of voting, contributing to our democracy, given the struggle in America to achieve equal access to the ballot in this country?
So my message to any voter who feels apprehensive about voting, I certainly may understand that apprehension, but I think it's important and imperative for people to understand that is the only time we have the ability to engage fully at the same level. So in other words, you know, when we look at whether it's preserving democracy, whether it's keeping us out of going to war, whether it is adding more jobs, whether it is in your own community, for women, of course, reproductive rights. We are now at one of the most critical junctures in the history of our nation that we've been at in relationship to the precious right to vote. And everything that regulates our lives is governed by those who are in elected positions. Starting certainly at the federal level, but all the way down to the local levels. Part of the challenge sometimes is people will vote for president and then they don't vote for their local state and local representatives, their city council people. Sometimes they don't know them. Sometimes they don't know who their state representatives and senators are. One of the things we have to do better, I know you asked one question, is we need voter education along with voter registration that can ultimately create voter participation. We stopped doing voter education in my judgment, and we only do a minimum amount of educating about the candidate that we want people to vote for. I think, first of all, we have to create a higher level of consciousness because we have a system that is a democracy. And one of the candidates has told us that he wants to be a dictator, a form of government that we in the United States will never be able to embrace. And voting should be simple, but it's complicated. I think people need to understand these consequences that if you, you know, we used to say, if you do not vote, you do not count. That's very real. I understand the frustration of people who may say, well, it ain't going to change anything. But then historically, it was one vote and the Tilden-Hayes Compromise back in 1800s that put us back into slavery. And so I think we have to figure out how do we get people to understand just even one vote can make a difference in this election and in subsequent elections so that we create the consciousness so that people will vote every election. I've been working on a campaign to use our smartphones to vote. We pay our bills. We order groceries. We do all kinds of things with our smartphones. Why then can we not register and vote? And I think we can do that. We have to work on the technology a little bit to make it secure. But every citizen should be able to vote with no encumbrances. And I think if we're able to get to that point where we can use our phones to vote, more people will vote, more people will be involved in the process.
You make a good point. You know, I can move my own money at my bank through my device.
So that's right.
Why not be able to accomplish something just as important like voting?
Yeah, absolutely.
Martin, thank you very much for joining us in the run-up to this Election Day 2024.
Man, thanks for the opportunity, and thanks for all that you're doing every day, and the leadership that you've provided for this country as the former Secretary of Homeland Security, and so many other things.